Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. This will be the last of our studies in Luke chapter 9. And as I've told you several times going through here, Luke chapter 9 is about the gospel and gospel preachers. And it's about Christ and those he calls to preach Christ. That primarily, it has an application to everyone in the kingdom of God, but especially to those who preach the gospel. So let's read these verses together, beginning with verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now I find in these three men and their responses and our Lord's answer to them three hard sayings. We were just talking about that before we came in from outside. There's some things in the scriptures that are hard sayings, not easily understood. Our Lord told his hearers in John 6:56 that he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Verse 53 of that chapter said, Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And many of his disciples, those who were following him, those who'd been listening to him, many of his disciples, when they heard that, they said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? This is a hard saying. There are things hard to digest, mysteries, things eternal, principles, if you will, of God, sovereign, eternal, omnipotent God. Things strange to our ears sometimes, but hard or easy, complicated or simple, if our God tells us something, we have to believe it. I must believe it. I must believe it. I must submit to it. And I must pray for understanding. This entire chapter is about the gospel and gospel preachers. And so the first thing I see here are three men which he addresses as ministers of God. And certainly these things have an application to all of us, but especially those called of God to preach his gospel. One preacher said of these three men that two were called and one was a fraud. And that's highly possible. It's highly possible. In Matthew 8:19, it identifies him as a certain scribe, this man who came to him and just out of the blue. They were just walking along. The Lord didn't say anything. They were just walking along. And this fellow came up to him and said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. I'm ready. This man was a religious man, a man whose station in life was to transcribe the scriptures. He'd worked in the Word of God his whole life. He was a scribe. Sometimes it's we pass over those things and we see a scribe and we just think, well, that's just another type of religion. No, they hand transcribed the scriptures. They spent their life working in the Word of God. They were familiar with it, with every comma, question mark, and period. They knew what it was, what our Lord calls jots and tittles. And his life was a lot like a Pharisee whose hope was in producing a righteousness by his obedience to the law. Our Lord said to him on another occasion, and I think it's John chapter 5, he said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." That is, you think by searching and knowing and this type of thing that you have eternal life. And he said, "They are they that testify of me, but you won't come to me." You keep going back to the book. You keep going back to your ancestors. You keep going back to your tradition. You won't come to me that you might have life. This book is about me. That's what he's telling them. It's about me. He was a promoter of a God he didn't know and a Christ that he misunderstood altogether. But he believed that the Christ would be manifested in his glory at Jerusalem, because that's what the old prophet said. And the Lord already had set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's where he was going. And this scribe understood that. He believed that the Christ would be manifested in his glory at Jerusalem, which is true, but not the way he believed. He believed that the Christ was going to be another David, another Solomon, another like Moses, whom God sent down and delivered Egypt. God worked wonders through those men. And they thought that's what the Messiah was going to be, another man. He's going to go to Jerusalem, and there he's going to be manifested as the promised Messiah, and then he was going to deliver them out from under Roman bondage, and they're going to reestablish Jerusalem, and Israel would return to its former glory, be the most powerful nation in the world. That's what they thought the Christ was all about. The Messiah, of whom the Jews believed, was going to do these things. He saw our Lord's going to Jerusalem as an event that they'd long looked for. And he was ready to follow him there. He wanted him to know that, because he wanted his place in the royal court when the Lord was exalted. Now that's why he wanted to go. That's why he wanted to go. For worldly gain in the kingdom. And he knew he'd suffer some contention, but it'd be worth it. He knew he'd suffer some resistance, some ridicule, but it'd be worth it when he got there, because he'd be one of his key men in the court. And our Lord plainly told Nicodemus that except a man be born again, he cannot perceive, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't understand it. He don't know what it's about. He just speculates. And this man was void of any inward work of grace. He hadn't been made meet to be partaker with enlightened saints. And everything to a natural man is a mystery. The word of God to the natural man is like a puzzle. Like a puzzle. And he looks at it, it looks like this piece fit over here, so he plugs it. Oh, yeah, there it is. That fits, and he starts plugging pieces in. And if you get disgusted enough, you'll take a piece that don't fit and make it fit. You ever did that? Just hit on it. This man looked at our Lord and he said, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And at first glance, that seems to be a good statement. At first glance, you know, you see a man, he says to the Lord, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And this is exactly what all believers do. They follow Christ. They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They'll follow him into the storm or into the fire. They'll follow him in life or death. They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Scripture said he putteth forth his sheep, and he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. That's exactly what they do. But this man wasn't called, nor did he hear the shepherd, nor did he have any understanding of what the shepherd was. Christ was going to Jerusalem to suffer and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain with wicked hands. He was going to Jerusalem to accomplish redemption. How are you going to follow him there? Will you follow him to the cross? Will you stretch out your hands as he did willingly before God and die on that cross? Who's going to follow him there? And that's what he was telling this man. Everything in nature, everything of this world, it has a place to rest. The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests and men have houses. And the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't come here to stay here. He didn't come here to exalt himself here. He came here to die for sin. Came here to die for those he loved. And having died, he's going to ascend back into glory. And that's exactly what he told them at the beginning of this chapter. Even those who were true followers followed him afar off. Warmed themselves by the fire when he was in his judgment. And this poor man, blinded by religion and a depraved heart, had no idea what it meant to follow Christ. And he didn't ask because he didn't care what it meant to follow Christ. His only concern was worldly advantage. That's what he wanted. And men and women often make professions of faith not realizing what it involved. And they drop out when the hard times come. They drop out along the way when it becomes difficult. The way of the cross is the way of suffering, persecution, and rejection. That's just so. I will was the boast of the scribe. I will follow you. And like every other deceived religionist, he thought his will was the determining factor. He thought because he was volunteering for service, the Lord would have him. Believers don't boast in their will nor their determination. They just follow the Lamb and hope by his grace to be enabled to stay the course. Huh? If anybody makes it, Lord, surely I will. Do you know that's a title of a hymn that they sing in churches? See if you can find any believer, any prophet, any apostle, any preacher in the Word of God who ever said anything like that. I'll tell you how we pray. Lord, if you will, if you will. All right, now let's look at the next example. Now this time the man's not talking to him, he's talking to the man. That's the way preachers are called. God talks to you, you don't talk to God. He talks to you. He talks to you. He said unto another, follow me. Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now Matthew says this, and another of his disciples came. This was a disciple of Christ, not a scribe, not an enemy, not somebody unknowing. This was a disciple of Christ. And Christ said to him, follow me. Why did he come? What prompted him to come? Christ called him. He was over here with the crowd. He was just walking along with the crowd, perfectly satisfied, listening to the Lord preach, getting a little light on this and that as he went along, listening to him preach, perfectly satisfied. And the Lord said, come here. Come here. Who? Me? Yeah, you. Come over here. Over here. He didn't jump to the front like that boasting scribe. He didn't even raise his head. His response was the result of his calling. The very first verse in chapter 10 is about other 70 preachers our Lord would send out. And this man was receiving what Paul called the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He'd been set apart for a great work, a necessary work, and a work to which one must be called. You can't manufacture preachers. You can't build a school and just turn them out like you would carpenters or electricians or something else. They have to be called. Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. He called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. He did not reason it out in his flesh according to his old ideas and concepts. He did not bow to the opinions of them around him, nor did he go to Jerusalem to discuss his calling. When Paul was called, he said, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. If God calls a man, I don't need your okay. I have his. I have his. Separated, he said, unto the gospel of God. And there's no higher priority in this world than the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the reason this world exists. It's the reason for its preservation. There's no higher priority in this world than our love and submission to the Lord of glory. In Matthew 10:34, he said, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I'm not come to send peace, but a sword. A sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father. You know, the very first one that I told what I thought I knew about the gospel, showing him in the Word of God, a man I knew was my father. I knew he'd studied this book front to back, and I wanted to show him this. And I read it to him, and boy, he got angry. Angry. Why? I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be those of his own household. Why? Because they're the closest to him. You listen to them. I ain't going to listen to old Joe Blow lives down the road. I ain't going to listen to him. But now if my dad comes, I'm going to listen. That's why a man's foes, great foes, those who can get to him, those who can cut him and cause him damage, are those of his own household. And our Lord said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Listen to this. Know ye not, Romans 6:16, that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. And this world is full of dead sinners. That's where he found us, isn't it? You hath he quickened who were dead. You were dead. You were dead. You didn't know anything. You had no ability. You had no understanding. You didn't know who God was. You didn't even know who you were. You're dead. Full of dead sinners. And they're pictured. Old Ezekiel, the Spirit carried him out and showed him a valley full of dry bones. He pictured all humanity. Here they are. All of God's elect. Here they are. Dead, dry bones. Son of man, he said, can these bones live? Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. Thou knowest. He said, preach to them. To bones? Yeah, to bones. Dead, dry bones. They're very many and they're very dry. There's no life in them. Preach to them. By the Spirit of God and the preaching of the gospel, he gave life to dead sinners. And the Lord said this to this young preacher that he called. He said, let the dead bury the dead. I've called you to do something, and I've sent you somewhere. I've sent you somewhere. Now you just let the dead bury the dead, and you go do what I told you to do. Is that a hard saying? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then very quickly, let's look at the third man, verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house. They're in my home and at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about trying to smooth things over with your family before you go obey him in your calling. That's what he's talking about. They sending you out to preach. Oh, you ain't going to preach out. You ain't going to preach election, are you? Huh? Why are you going way down to Arkansas to preach? There's churches on every corner up here. Just spend a few months, go to their seminary, pop out, you make $100,000 to $150,000 a year. They're looking for people. Huh? You ain't going way down. Yeah, I'm going down there. I'm going down there. That's what people say who don't know anything about God's calling, and they don't know anything about his gospel or his son or even God. God called us out of darkness, ignorance, deceit, and worldly religion. And we practiced all these things and shared a common ground with all of our relatives and friends. But when God intervened, God stepped into our lives and called us out from among them. Come ye out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Separated us by his Spirit and his gospel. Do I still care about my family? Absolutely, I care about my family. Do I still love them? I still love them. I still love them. Do I want them to know I care? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But not according to their ways and means. There's nothing that you can do. Now you hear me. I want you to understand this. There is nothing that you can do for your children more than set an example by being in this place every Sunday. You want to serve witness to your family? Show up here every Sunday. Every Sunday. When they have their big whatever it is, the family reunions or whatever, if it interferes with what you're doing in the kingdom of God, I'm going to have to miss it this year. I'm going to have to miss it. If they come to visit you on a Sunday and try to get you to stay home, you tell them, I'm going to church, I'll be back in about 2 hours. There's nothing you can do that'll give a more honest testimony, a more meaning testimony to your children and your friends and your family than being right in this place. Huh? Now that's just so. I know where they are and why, and I know how Satan works in men and women. The only thing I can do for them is what I'm doing right here. And that's what our Lord was saying to this young man. You want to do something for your family? Go do what I'm calling you to do. Just be faithful to God, his dear children. And pray for them. Encourage them to hear. Bring them if they'll come. Bring them. Well, I brought them once before and they didn't do it. Bring them again. Bring them again. Pray for them. But your calling as disciples is not a matter of family opinion. And those who would serve the Lord must serve him with undivided hearts. Moses had to leave the woman who raised him as her son for Christ's sake. Took him as a baby right out of the river. Raised him to adulthood. Abraham had to come out of his father's house. Lot had to walk out of Sodom. And God turned his wife into a pillar of salt for looking back. God help us to see these great principles he's given us and given us the love and loyalty of heart to follow him in spite of everything that goes on around us. May the Lord give us all understanding. Thank you.